This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, the show is past tense. The last song was Moves Me from the band IMY3 off of their album IMY2. I'm going to be playing another song off of that album, one called Sober, coming up next. And then following that, we'll continue the interview that I did with the band IMY3 a few weeks ago.
And she uses a lot of like Indian scales and stuff too. It was like so good in a way that I knew it was so much bigger than I could understand, because I'm like, I don't know music theory like that. I don't know what these scales are, but yeah, that was amazing. Who else were highlights?
That's amazing. I liked 20 Cats.
That was in Knoxville. They're awesome.
I played with my friend Tim Mensa. He plays under Regular Decision. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
For a couple of shows, played with Charlie Paso. They're amazing.
Yeah, in Raleigh. Another couple bands.
There was a lot of really, really good bands we played with.
Yeah.
It's like, that was like, especially at the beginning, because we were like, oh my god, we're going to play all these shows. Like, are we going to start hating music? But it was the opposite. I was like, oh my god,
yeah,
we need to get back
so
in the studio.
Inspiring.
Like,
yeah.
Holy shit, we need to step it up. Especially in Texas, I was like really impressed by everybody.
And then I'm excited to play with Alex, Cambodian Sim Card.
Yeah, we're doing a run.
Yeah.
We're running with Alex. We're doing like 7 shows together. It's very different music.
Mm-hmm.
It's like more experimental. It's kind of like,
yeah,
Tim Hecker-y.
Okay.
A little bit maybe harsher than Tim
Hecker.
And
like screaming and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
he's kind
so
of in a transition.
He makes me cry.
Yeah, he's like
he
one of my favorite artists,
sure,
of all time. So I love, and I've toured with his other band, With Me Not Shameful,
okay,
when he was in a noise duo. And I also love mixed blows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though our set isn't that experimental, especially right now, it's like, it's nice to be in those spaces. I feel like it's better because sometimes we end up in shows where there's like, it's more like a shoegaze bill, and it's like, we make more sense of an experimental,
yeah,
show,
well,
than a
like,
shoegaze show. Because shoegaze is like,
yeah,
kind of like, I'm just trying to vibe and like,
yeah,
this is,
yeah,
sick. And, you know, that's not really,
yeah, I feel like experimental stuff, like the way the audience is going to interact with it. Like, a lot of times, it's like, everyone's sitting down, yeah. Everyone's very quiet, because there's, like, more different things to make out, you know?
Yeah, it's more dynamic and stuff, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's, I feel like I'm forgetting, like, a really, well, it's great to play with Toehead, it's great to play with Walker.
Yeah.
That's our buddy from the band that we did our run with, and.
What was the band?
Toehead.
Toehead,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a.
T-O-W.
Yeah, not like a toe enthusiast.
Yeah, okay.
But I really, now I feel weird because I feel like I'm forgetting a bestie or a,
yeah.
Because the music was so good and then like.
I mean, we played with Trust Blakes, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Trust Blakes
was
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it was all great. I liked, I really liked Emily's stuff in Hattiesburg, but it's not
yeah.
a band. We played with, I don't remember her last name right now.
It was like David Part or something.
Yeah, we played with, somebody in Hattiesburg, Mississippi who did spoken word.
Okay.
And their partner did like sort of like ambient field recording stuff. And
yeah,
it was like just such a good
yeah.
set. And that
was
such a good
beautiful.
Show. That was
yeah.
probably one of my favorite shows I ever played.
Yeah.
Okay.
What
was
that?
Hattiesburg,
Mississippi.
And I think that both of the people in the couple were from Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
And so she incorporated a lot of like Baton Rouge like Southern
Creole.
French stuff.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
That was awesome. And then honestly, Chapel Hill and Raleigh were both great too.
Yeah.
And Tucson was great.
Yeah. Many good shows.
Many good shows, yeah.
It sounds like it's been really fantastic. Especially, like, rather than burning out, things just keep getting better. Like, that's
yeah.
positive.
We also took a little break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like not a
vacation.
Not a full break, but yeah, we went to the beach for a couple days.
Oh, yeah.
We were in Philly chilling for a little while, and then we did like our like, anniversary celebration in Vermont. So we did like
okay,
a,
cool.
we were like a little bit recharged. We were
yeah.
a lot more exhausted, but
yeah.
it was very inspiring. Definitely not burnt on music at all. If
yeah.
anything, the opposite.
Yeah, no.
Cool.
Which is cool. Surprising.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who did you guys play with in Philly? Because we actually, like there are a decent number of Philly bands that will actually come up here. So
oh,
that
yeah.
was like a good,
We
exchange.
Played with Noli.
Okay.
Noli's in a band called Good Night Moon or something like that. I forgot.
Moon by Moon?
I don't remember. This is bad. Like
we can always figure it out.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. We played with Noli and someone
awesome.
Named Malk, who
yeah.
also has their own.
Oh,
band.
We were gonna play with Kaho.
But we were gonna play with Kaho Matsui, who's like a friend of ours
yeah.
who makes experimental music, who's
yeah.
like a that's bestie.
Yeah, but she was sick.
But
that
she was
day,
sick. So someone named Malk hopped in and was actually at their house. And
yeah.
they used to live here, they went to McGill.
Okay.
Really.
Cool.
I don't remember their full band's name, but that was a really great
they
show that was like
great.
The you can tell Philly's like the guitar music capital, like all the guitar playing was very good and tasteful and like high level, even though it was just solo sets. I was like,
yeah,
like it was
no,
such
it was,
a great show.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
and it was so casual. It was
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, it
yeah.
was casual, and everyone seemed like, and everyone there was like, oh, I'm in like a bunch of bands, and we all, I run my own venue. And you're like,
mm-hmm.
all of you? And they're like, yep. And
yeah, no,
I
awesome.
Guess that's the way it is.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I've heard that about Philly, that it's got, I think. I'm trying to remember the name of the band. I've played them on the show. I should remember. So now you guys don't look so bad because I'm screwing up. But two members of the band, Bleary Eyed, they're more of like a shoegaze band, but they were talking about how like Philly has good DIY infrastructure.
Mm.
So they phrased it like that. It's like,
yeah.
okay, that's serious.
It's
no,
definitely
true
because there's a lot of like warehouses and stuff, and then there's a lot of basements. Like
yes.
everybody has a basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's like, especially coming from out west, like it's a huge
yeah.
difference. Like you're like, oh, even if you live in an apartment, you might have access to the basement, and it's like not going to piss off the neighbors if you throw
mm-hmm.
a show.
Yeah.
And a lot of people seem to live pretty close. Like our show, they forgot the PA to the last minute, and they're like, oh, I have to go to my friend's house, but don't worry, it's only a block away. And I was like, here we go. And then we just walked. One
yeah.
block, picked it up, and then walked back. And it was just like
was
a 2-minute walk. And like normally, especially in the West Coast, people say a block away, it's like a 5-minute drive, it's a
yeah,
couple miles, you know what I mean?
It's
like the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it was just like, no, it's like actually right here.
Yeah.
It's just my buddy. I'm like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really, it was really fun.
Yeah.
That was a great, that's a great
that was cool, yeah.
And you guys are now relocating out of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
What was the scene like over there? Like the music scene in general, in terms of venues, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. It's like a lot of venues are kind of, I don't know. It is a place where you like have to be like at a venue, you know, because like there's just not that much extra space there that like people just have like personal control of, and then like, I don't know. It's just it's kind of yeah. It's kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah, it's well, SF is really small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not very many people live there, And then Oakland's really small too, and they're also like more separate than I thought when I moved up. Because I guess we have different perspectives. So Emily's like actually grew up, born and raised in SF.
Okay.
And I moved there. I was there for like almost 2 years, but not, like 2.5 years. Okay. So I have like the outside perspective. Emily has like the local, like so it's got like opposite perspectives. But I expected it to be more like, or everyone's always like, oh, it's like Oakland's like Brooklyn by the Bay or whatever, and it's very different because it's harder to get from Oakland to San Francisco, and they're both much smaller than New York and Manhattan respectively.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I feel like in New York, it's like most young people doing music live in Brooklyn, but it's not really like that in Oakland. Like, there are a lot of bands live in SF, and a lot of bands live in Oakland. They're kind of two separate scenes. It's more like two cities near each other. And so that kind of, like, is good and bad. I feel like it's usually, like, most people won't go across the bay for a show, so they're, like, a little bit more insular scenes. It's really good. There's, like, a lot of, like, Screamo right now, and there's, like, a lot of, like, shoegaze music, and, I don't even, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what would you, and just, like, a lot of like, guitar music.
Okay.
There isn't as much, like, experimental music as maybe I would like. It's kind of just, like, there's, like, deep wells. It's, like, if you're into the specific type of music there's a good scene for, it's, like, yes, awesome. If you're into some other stuff, it's, like, you do kind of feel like you're, like, popping on. Like, my band, Not Shameful, is, like, we're, I guess, very, like, we're not a shoegaze band. But we're, like, always playing shoegaze shows, which is great. Like, all those people were really nice. But it was, like, we were obviously, like, we didn't have anywhere else to plug in, so we were just like, I guess we're just with these folks, which is cool. I'm glad they made space for us, but it felt like we were hopping on a little bit.
Yeah.
But really happy. I mean, that band's on, like, a mostly shoegaze, like, label from the Bay, and they're all really sweethearts, and, like, they're all awesome, and there is, like, a lot of music there. But I do think it's also really hard for folks to, like, maintain venues and spaces because it's so expensive. So it's, like, not just, it's hard for artists to live there, but it's also hard for people to build stuff up because it's, like, yeah, like, venues can shut down if they're like more DIY. A lot of stuff in the city and SF especially, there's a lot of noise complaints and stuff because it's like a lot of like, you know, people who make a lot of money, who have work in the morning. Like I know like Adobe Books and the Mission like gets all sorts of complaints, like they're struggling to be able to do shows still because like people across the street put noise complaints on them all the time. That's like a, been like a staple for years. So it's kind of like a little bit of like a push and pull culturally, I think, between like a lot of people that live there that don't want anything like that to happen and the people that are like fighting to keep stuff happening. But there's a lot of, there's like a lot of really talented people.
Yeah.
There's a lot
and it's
of like
a good community.
Music happening. Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah. I feel like we've had something of a similar issue when it comes to contrast between like cultural community and music community and the people that end up living above or nearby this stuff, like death of, I mean, this was really before I even came here, but like the death of many like DIY venues. And then actual venues getting more and more noise complaints. And I feel too, something I noticed coming from like a small town, well, small town, like 100,000 people, but middle of nowhere is they're spread out. People have garages, people have basements. We had very few venues, but there are lots of places for you as a band to practice too.
Exactly.
Whereas here, you don't have a backyard. You don't have a
That's very similar. And like, even like my friends that play music in Oakland too, like they do practice in garages, but the houses are so much closer, and again, sort of that influx of new people moving into the area that don't want that, like the soft, like the softy practice, like their neighbor flipped out.
Oh,
were you
really?
There?
No.
Just like a friend of ours band, like they flipped out. Like their neighbor said, you could do it until 10, and they came in at like 9:50 or something, like before 10, and like freaked out. Was like, you guys ever do this again? I'm calling the cops. Like just like flipped out on them. Like it is different. Yeah, I started playing music in Arizona.
Okay.
So it's very, garages. And honestly, like, it's just, especially at that time, it was so cheap. Like, young people could just have a whole suburban house to themselves, basically.
Yeah.
Like, two people.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what we've seen on tour. We're like, what? You run a venue out of your big suburban house? And you're
totally.
Just, like, a guy with, like, a normal job? Well,
especially, like, out east is, like, the housing crisis on the West Coast is, like, noticeably worse.
It's crazy.
Like,
yeah.
It's crazy. And not just, like, unhoused people, but just, like, everything about it. Like,
yeah.
People can still eke out cheap places in a lot of places out east. I mean, obviously New York has its own problem, and I'm not sure the rent situation here, but, like, everywhere besides New York that we went, we were like, that's crazy y'all have this much ability to choose.
Yeah.
You know, like, when it's in the Bay, you just kind of take whatever you can get, and then it's like, if that works out for your art, that's great. If it doesn't, well,
yeah,
too bad.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be.
Well, 10 maybe
in a... take.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone in like is at least like slightly aware of what's going on like in their immediate vicinity, and it's like, and I can imagine like you guys going on tour, like you get this like huge swath of, like you would see how different it is from place to place. So that's, it's a really interesting perspective, and I think like
the longevity and the life, like what the life of a DIY venue is while it still lasts is also a really interesting thing to think about geographically, like mm-hmm. where these things can thrive, like what makes them thrive, and mm-hmm. where can people like begin making music and where they can play it.
Totally.
Yeah. But I think to end maybe on a slightly like a more hopeful note than that, like is there anything that you guys really enjoy playing live out of the set list that you have? Do you have favorites?
Miss is always fun at the end, and that one's kind of a different like setup.
Yeah, we usually end with the last song out. And the album's called I'm My One, but yeah. we call it Miss.
We call
yeah.
it Miss. Okay.
Now I know a secret. Yeah. Everyone else will know a secret too.
And then in my head I always call it Miss Bounce because I had the like bounces like on a Google Drive on my phone, and I was showing one of my friends, and I was like, which one do you want to listen to? She's like, obviously I want to listen to Miss Bounce. I was like, oh my god. So that's how I was thinking.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Yeah, every time.
That's sweet.
But yeah, that one's really fun to play. And that one's really like expressive. I always like playing Moves Me.
Moves Me is great. Sober is great.
Yeah. Moves Me is the only one with like a lead guitar part, really.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's like that's the one where we have like a competing vocal part too at the end, mm-hmm. where you're doing one thing, I'm doing something totally different, and we really have, and I'm playing a lead part, so I really have to lock. It's a very simple lead part, but
it's fun
enough
though.
To lock. I have to lock in. It's like fun. That's like the only like borderline shredding type of moment because we are doing like four different things.
Yeah,
we have to keep track of it. But yeah, obviously, Miss is like the really fun one. I'm My One is the one that's like because Emily Bowe's on guitar, and
mm-hmm.
We get to yell a little bit. It's the only time in the set we get loud.
Nice.
So it's fun to know it's coming, especially like the audience is like, seems like they're digging it, but it's like they don't even know what's coming. This is how it
they
feels.
Don't know we have like other.
We don't know we have one loud song.
They don't know we have other volumes.
Yeah, literally. Well, and also people love like the bowing on the guitar. It sounds great, but like as soon as the bow comes out,
set to the back. Something I couldn't find. There's blood in my mouth. How I wish it were mine. Set it to your overall dress. Something I couldn't find. The whole wide world. I miss you, I miss you, I miss you. I set it to the halfway house. Something I couldn't find. There's blood in my mouth. I miss you, I set it to the back of your head. Something I couldn't find. Set it to your overall dress. I miss you, I miss you, I miss you, I. Do I?
CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, the show is past tense, and the last song that played was IMY1, or, as it turns out, secretly known as Miss, from the band IMY3 off of their album IMY2. This also concludes the interview that I did with the band IMY3, but if you want to hear the complete version of it, which is more or less what played on the show, you can check out the CJLO website, and it should be posted up there in the near future. So go to CJLO.com, and you can find that and listen again and again and again to me talking to IMY3. I enjoyed it a lot. I also really enjoyed their set, and they did, in fact, end with the song IMY1/Miss. And being in on that secret the whole time, and like kind of the back of the room, and knowing that they're going to build up to this like really kind of huge song, after playing so like delicately for, you know, all the songs before it, that was like a terrific piece of anticipation for me. Especially because it was a secret. I just felt so cool being in on that. Yeah. Anyway, I had a lot of fun. I think I said that already. And good luck to IMY3. I'm looking forward to what they put out next. And also, good luck to them on the remainder of their tour. I think they've still got about a week left. Maybe a couple more Canadian shows and then back to the US. So I hope it goes well. Yeah, I've actually got another interview in the works. Well, I've already recorded it, already done the interview. So it'll be probably coming up on the show within the next few weeks. This is one I did with the band Golden Star, specifically Marcus, whose project that is. We talked for a while, and I also got to know more secrets about another band, except Golden Star is local, so they'll actually be playing a few shows in the coming future, one on June 6th, actually. So that's coming up. I think that's going to be at CASA. Anyway, next up is the song VS, and then Torn a Twain off of the Golden Star EP.